we ought to actually get our basic ideas in place before we start a Mishnah that's going to be talking about a lot of very, very particular dinim. So let's just think over the basic munachim. What are the words that are going to be coming up throughout the Masechet and even right at the beginning, and where we go through six different levels of mikveh with all kinds of special dinim? Let's take the general halachas. We really have two essential psukim that all of this is going to be based on. One is the Ach Mayan Ubor Mikveh Mayim Yihyeh Tahor. Every one of those words ends up telling us different kinds of dinim. Remember that Ach is always a lotion of miut, which means that the dinim that we'll find in some type of the mikveh, let's say the Mayan, is going to be different than the dinim that we find in the other mikveh that's listed, the bar mikveh mayim. Obviously, those are very, very different things. One of them is a flowing natural source, and the other is a collection, which it's a bar, which means that it's been dug out and water has collected there. Okay? So that is telling us that they're two completely different type of mikvahs. And it says, yihyeh tahor. Now, what exactly is the specific meaning of yihyeh tahor? This simple understanding of the yihyeh tahor is that it is telling me that even one, this is how the Mefarshim explained the simple meaning of the pasuk. Yihyeh tahor means that even one who goes into it, yihyeh tahor, it will then make that person himself tahor. But we'll have to look into what the other implications are as we go along. The other pasuk is, Berachatz b'mayim es kol b'saro. So we know there's some very important dinim from there. Kol b'saro means that he's got to be completely in the mikvah. So if any piece of him sticks out, this person was rachatz b'mayim, then he has not gone to the mikvah. It's got to be kol b'saro. Furthermore, it has to be es kol b'saro. From there, we learn S means even that which is tafel lebisaro, which means even a single hair that is not in the mikvah is going to be actually ma'akev his tefillah. And what's more, we learn from here the shear of a mikvah. The shear of the mikvah is that the bar has to be big enough for kol b'saro, which means that we take the standard of what it is that a person will be able to fit his body into and keep his head under the water, which is one amma by one amma by three ammas, which equals arba'im sa'ah. And from there we get the essential din of the shear of a mikvah. However, that's only true about the bor. When it comes to the ma'ayan, well, the ma'ayan is flowing water. Not to mention the fact that its very flow is the opposite of the bor mikveh mayim, isn't it? If you have something that's rolling along the ground, or you have something that is settled on the ground, those are very different things. The technical word for those very different things is that the ma'ayan is zochel. It moves. The water creeps along. And therefore, we call water of that type zochalim. So a mayan can be matayer someone bezochalim. If it's bezochalim and it's not gathered together, then that means that the shear that we were talking about, which is the 1 by 3 square amas, is not going to be able to apply to a mayan. And if it's bezochalim, then what's the deal? Can a person actually be tayevel in it, even though he doesn't get completely into the water? So the deal is that definitely something that fits into a mayan. So you've got this little stream. You have a fork that you bought from a guy, and you need to do tefillas kelim. Or you have a fork that's tameh, for that matter, and you want to use this fork with truma. If the fork fits under the water, that is certainly kosher, even though it's not dipped into an arboim so mikveh, because it's a kosher ma'ayan, even though it's moving along. If a person can fit, let's say somebody is, it's a deep flowing stream. It's a small person. He's able to be covered by that deep stream. Maybe it's a child. Should want to be Matayr. So then, actually, it's a machlokas. Whether by definition, an Adam requires the shear of Adam, even if it's in a Mayan, or whether an Adam, even a small Adam, like the Rambam holds, can be Matayr himself in a Mayan if he fits in. And there's no specific din that an Adam requires Arba Imsa'a. Now, that's called Zohalin. The technical word for the water that is standing still in a mikveh is Ashboren. Ashboren means still, standing water. Now, what's interesting is that there is also one additional pasuk, which is only said Legabe a Zov. It's not said even for a Nida or for a Zava. But a Zov has to be Tovel B'mayim Chayim. Ah, no, that's a whole different deal. Because Mayim Chayim, it's not enough for it to be called just a Mayan, and by definition, that makes it Mayim Chayim. Mayim Chayim means it has to be water in its initial primal state. And therefore, it can't be contaminated. It can't be warmed, it can't be salted, it can't be colored, and things like that, which is definitely a psul mayim chayim. Sometimes even those things might possible a mikvah. We'll talk about colored water and things like that, but those are prote dinim. So, but it turns out that we've got three different types of mikvahs. We've got ashbaran mikvahs, we've got zohalim mikvahs, and we have mayim chayim mikvahs. Now, the other question is whether the idea of the naturalness of the water, the yiye tahor, which would be somehow an implication of this thing being something that is itself. And we'll talk about the various drushes as we go along. This means that it has to be something that was havayato. It's a very important nakuda. Havayato ayide tahara. That is a technical term. Mayim, which were havayatam ayate tuma, or mayim, which were havayato ayate tahara. What this means is that the water that actually was in the mikveh could not have gone through an agency that might have been tummy. Now, if that's the case, it means that even if these waters are running into the mikveh over your foot could be tummy, or over a kli. The kli could be tummy. It isn't, but nonetheless, it's not called a vayato ayadei tahara. It's not a yiye tahor. So what that means is, if you're going to build a mikveh, the water might be very natural water, but it cannot go into that mikveh through, let's say, a pipe that would have been a kli before it was put into the ground, because it's not a vayato ayadei tahara. So the complete naturalness of the water in a way that relieves it of any connection to Tuma is an essential part of the mikveh. So these are really brand new concepts that are very important to keep clear. Now this means that mayim that are actually inside of any type of kli, they are for sure not considered to be natural mayim. And they're because of that, again, the technical term has a couple of different terms that are nogeya. The main term, of course, is, as you're all familiar with, is mayim shu'uvim. Mayim shu'uvim are pasul for a mikveh. But what's interesting is that there's actually four types of mikvehs. There's not only ashboran, there's not only zohalin, not only mayim chayim, there's also, as I'm sure you've heard, a mayim shu'uvim mikveh. Ooh, what would that possibly mean? So remember, there are different things that we use a mikveh for, right? So one thing that the Torah constantly talks about for Rochatz B'mayim is nogea going into the Beis HaMikdash, or eating kodesh, or eating truma, or eating Maaser Sheni, or whatever it is. If somebody who's makpid to eat his kulin b'tahara, that's up to him. But that idea that he simply wants to be tahor. Okay, so that's the classic mikveh. Then we have also a diraisa, which is the din of putting kalim of a goy. This comes from the story of Klei Midian, where it says, baba mayim. It has to be put into a mikveh. Another very important use of a mikveh would be to be makabel gerim. They require tefillah. Another very important use, obviously, is to be mater, a woman who is Roy Adam, either as a Zava or as a Nida, to be mater her to her husband. Another, like we said, another type of mikveh would be specifically for a male Zav, which is not true for a Nida and a Zava, which requires Mayim Chayim. But remember, there's a fascinating din of tefillah, which is called Tfilat Ezra. So that was a takana from the time of Ezra, in which it's necessary for someone who is Roya Keri to, before he's able to learn or to say brachas, he needs to go through a mikveh. Now, we don't keep Tfilas Ezra because it was nitbatel because of the difficulty of the Shmira of Tfilas Ezra. But one of the dinim of Tfilas Ezra that was a kula was that it's even possible to be tevel as a balkeri in mayim she'uvim of a mikvah, and even a different type of tahira, which is pouring over water, tisha kavim of mayim, over that balkeri, also is sufficient for Tfilas Ezra. So that means that even in types of mikvahs, we've got all of these alternatives, quite remarkable, depending on the particular usage. So we can have an Ashbaran mikveh, we can have a Zochalin mikveh, we can have a Mayim Chayim mikveh, and we can even have a Mayim She'uvi mikveh. Now, there's a big machlokas about whether the concept of Mayim She'uvi is in its essence a diaraisa, or is it really only a takana derabbanan? And fascinatingly, it's even a machlokas among the later peskim between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. So the Rambam learns that Mayim She'uvim is a Derabbanan concept, which the Beis Yosef paskens, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, that the idea of Mayim She'uvim is a Derabbanan. Other Rishonim, almost all the Rishonim, hold a note. The concept of Mayim She'uvim is a Deraisa. Where is it that we say that the idea of Mayim She'uvim is a Derabbanan? So let's consider a situation where you've got less than 40 sa'ah in your mikveh. The Rabbanan made a takana that a mikveh which is chaser, so it doesn't have the full 40 sa'ah, and we'll talk about how much, even if it's chaser a little bit, we'll get to his prate dinim. Once you add to a mikveh chaser shlosha lugin of mayim she'uvim, you pasul the whole mikveh. That is a Rabbanan. And that is in order, what would be Bichlal, the problem, I'm sure those who hold that the whole idea, the Rambam, that the whole idea is a Drabbanan, because if you allow Mayim She'uvim, then people will ultimately end up using a bathtub as a mikveh. Because if you think that water in a kli is kosher for a mikveh, you won't realize that the very fact that you're not being tevel in a bor, but you're being tevel in a kli, that for sure is not a mikveh, because it's the bor mayim that is kosher. So in order to avoid that confusion of the water that went through a kli versus the water that is currently in a kli, so that would be the basis of the chumras that we make on the chashash that maybe someone will end up actually being tevel, not in a mikveh, but literally being tevel in the kli. So, okay, now that idea of she'uvim has a lot of prate dinim. It's not so simple. First of all, it's extended into a different idea, which is called tfisat yidei adam. Anything that the human being is sholeth on with his hands, even if it's not a kli. So let's say you have water, you were walking in the rain, you got lots of rainwater, and you're soaked through with this rainwater. So you take your clothes off, squeeze them out, getting beautiful rainwater going directly into the bor. Is that a kosher mikveh? It wasn't in a kli, as we'll explain in a minute. A kli means that it has a beit kibul. And not only that, but one of the other things is that it not only has some beit kibul that can hold water, which means it can't have a hole in it, but it has to also be put into the Beit Kibul with the dot of an individual who put it in. Similar to the idea of Kiyitan and Kiyutan, but even more powerful. And nonetheless, it's called Pusel. Not because it's Shuvim and the classic Shuvim of being in the actual Kli Kibul, but because it's Tvisat yedei adam is ipso facto pasul, even if it's not a kli. So, in order for something to be an actual kli to pasul mayim she'uvim, there's a number of things that make it a kli to pasul mayim she'uvim. First of all, it has to have a beit kibul, as I said. It had to be manufactured for purposes of Kabbalah, not that you happen to find something that has a Beit Kibul. It had to be filled because you actually wanted it filled, and not because it got rained on. And it has to be detached. If it's not detached from the ground, it's not going to be called Mayim She'uvim. So even if you've got this beautiful rock that has been turned into a trough, and the animals will drink from it, and it's a nice base kibble, it's not going to create Mayim She'uvim, because it was never Tolush. Now, of course, that raises all of the complex issue. If it was initially Tolush, and afterwards it became Nischaber, all those kind of things are going to be Nisbara as we go along. Is there anything you can do about a situation where the mikveh was chaser and got filled up with Mayim She'uvim? Yes. This introduces two other munachim. I think maybe we're going on a little bit too long, but I'll try to finish up quickly. And that introduces two new concepts that are nogea, where you have water that is she'uvim. Is there a way that it can be actually made kosher? So one is, of course, the idea of hashaka. Hashaka, as we saw before, means that you can actually take water that is even in a kli currently. So you have water that became tamei. Water was in a pitcher. Well, you can't put food into a mikveh, but you can make the water in that container part of the mikveh. How do you do that? Through hashaka, which means that if these waters are mixed, how can they be mixed? You could put the entire container into and under the water, and then if the container itself is affected by the water in the mikveh to be metayaret, so is the water in the container that is now connected to the water of the mikveh. What's more, if you've got two different mikvehs, so let's say you have a mikveh that's full of mayim she'uvim, and you make a hole between it and an adjacent pool of water that is a kosher mikveh, then if that hole is the size of a shvoferet hanod, which is like two fingers that you can turn around inside the hole, then both mikvehs now magically become kosher. Why? Because you have connected that mikveh that was once considered to be unnatural water, you've connected it back to the planet's natural water through that. Now, there's another way that you can do it also. Suppose you've got a puddle of some kind next to a bore that is kosher, filled with real mayim that came naturally from the kishamim. If you take the water that's in the puddle that had been artificially filled and you overfill it so that now it flows out and the flow on top actually reaches the mikveh, it will also become part of that mikveh. Technically speaking, that's a form of hashaka. However, it is referred to technically in order to differentiate it. It's called zri'a, planting the water back onto the ground by attaching it to that mikveh. So you could be metayer it either through hashaka or through zri'a. Now, another thing which allows you to use water that was possible for the mikveh to add it and make mashlim the shear of the mikveh with it is a new, this is the last concept that I'll talk about, is called hamshacha. I hope you're keeping lists of all of this. If not, I'll write it up and send it to you. It's called hamshacha. Hamshacha means that if something is going to flow over the ground and it won't be put into the mikveh directly, then the very fact that it starts to flow over the ground removes from it the din of she'iva, because now it's sort of back on the ground. That hamshacha will allow you to add a certain amount of mayim she'uvim to a mikveh in order to be mashlim the mikveh. Okay, so just once again, let's talk about the words that we examined. We talked about a mikvah of Ashboren, of Zolcholin, of Mayim Chayim, of the concept of Mayim She'uvim, the concept of Shlosha Lugim Mayim She'uvim. What is required for She'uvim is you need for it to be Tolush. It has to have a Beit Kibul. It needed to be Nismali Ladaite. It had to have originally been Nase LeKabbalah. I forgot to mention, it also has to be on its, it has to be faced right side up, as the Kali was meant to be used. We talked about Hamshocha, we talked about Hashaka, we talked about Zri'ah, and we talked about Havayato Ayedei Tum'ah, and we talked about Tfilas Ezra, and the various dinim of Mikvah Mayim Shuvim and Tisha Kavim of Mayim that are poured over him. Whew, I think that basically covers the ideas that we'll be talking about in the opening of the Masechet, and gives us one leg up. Bezrat Hashem. Have a wonderful day, all. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.